When I look to Jesus, not only as my Savior and my Shepherd and my Guide, but as my giant killer, He is able to overcome and defeat the giants of my life that are bigger than me, but not bigger than Him. Is anybody hearing me today? Come on.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, The Devil's Bully. This is chapter one on the series we call The Battlefield. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
You know, if you read the news much, you know that bullying has become a major problem in American schools, resulting in even suicide for some young people who just couldn't take it anymore. But bullying is nothing new. The Bible reveals all kinds of scenarios where bullying took place. And the worst Bible bully of all had to be the giant Goliath. Goliath had managed to intimidate the entire army of Israel by his bullying threats. So today we're going to continue with part two of the message, The Devil's Bully. And as we study this Old Testament story of David and Goliath, we're going to see that it is a perfect picture of modern day spiritual warfare. So let's go right to the message, The Devil's Bully.
Just to lay the groundwork for this series, let me just bring out a couple of things that I see. First of all, the battle with Goliath took place in a valley. It didn't take place in a mountaintop or a level plain. It took place in a valley, as the video that was so well done showed us, that valley. The enemy met them in a valley experience. The Bible says Israel encamped in the valley of Elah. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And when Goliath said, come and meet me, he wanted to meet them in the valley. It's in the valleys we have our most intense battles, when we're in a valley. Because you know why? In a valley, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable in a valley. And Israel couldn't have been more vulnerable at this time. The Bible talks about several kinds of valleys. It says a lot about valleys. Joshua talks about the valley of calamity. Psalms 84 talks about the valley of weeping. Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. And David saw valleys as a place of shadows, because that's what they are. Valleys are places of shadows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Valleys are places that don't receive direct sun. They can't. It's blocked. So they are cast with shadows. They are cast with shadows. David's valley in Psalms 23 actually means in the Hebrew language, the valley of deep darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness with shadows cast all around me, I will not fear. I will not fear. One Bible translation reads, even when I walk through the darkest valley, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Now, here's the deal. It's our souls that go through valley experiences when we seem to be cast with shadows. And can I tell you something, dear church, born again, children of God? There is nothing wrong with this. Peter said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that has come to try you. So if you're going through a valley, don't go, well, where's my faith? What's wrong with me? If I had good faith, this wouldn't be happening. No, every child of God goes through valleys. David was in a soul valley, for instance, when he wrote these words. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? He's talking to his soul. Where was he? He was in a valley. Valleys are lonely. Valleys can be desperate places. Even though God is with you, you can feel very desperate in a valley. You feel like nobody understands the valley you're in. You talk to some people and they say, well, just have faith. And you just want to slap them. What is half faith? Where's your faith? Well, I think my faith is intact, dude, but I'm in a valley. Or just praise the Lord. How many of you ever wanted to choke a child of God? Come on. Okay. Valleys can be unnerving. They can be unsettling. I would much rather be on a mountaintop than in the valley. But I've learned through the years, listen, valleys don't last forever. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. It's cloudy out there today, but I guarantee you we all know it's not going to last. The sun will shine again. So valleys are only temporary places we pass through, and we learn things in those valleys that we must know to go to the next level. Let me give you some free advice. If you're in a valley, the best way to get out of it is keep on walking. I'm going to say it again, keep on walking. I know people that have built their houses in a valley. I know people that have bought their burial plots in a valley. Listen, the Lord does not intend for you to stay in the valley. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to stay. I'm not going to pitch my tent here. I'm just passing through. So keep on walking. I love that song by Stephen Annie Chapman. I can hear it in my mind. Keep on walking. You don't know how far you've gone. Keep on walking. For all you know, it may be done. And the Father might be standing up right now to make the call to end it all. So keep on walking. Keep on walking. And there's really, really good news regarding valleys that have giants in them. It's in the valley where the richest fruit is grown. Don't ever forget that. It's in the valley where the richest fruit is grown. Mountaintops don't have anything up there. I had climbed one mountain in my life, Pecos Baldy in New Mexico. And when we got way to the top, there was only one thing up there, snow. And that's it. But down in the valley, lush trees and vegetation and all kinds of beautiful flowers, those were in the valley. And God grows our greatest fruit when we're in valley experiences. That's why David said in the valley of the shadow, you are with me. You're with me. You're not just with them. You're with me. It's in the valley that we feel that strong, gentle hand. Take our hand and say, Jeff, Bill, Sue, Kathy, take my hand, because I'm going to introduce myself to you in a way that you have not known me until you get into this valley. You're going to learn to access the Word. You're going to learn to pray. You're going to learn to trust. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I know you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know that you've gone ahead of me, and you're preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemy is going to have to sit back and watch and grit his teeth when you bless me when I get to the other side. Israel encountered the giant of all giants in a valley. But that valley was the place of their greatest victory. It's where Goliath came down. Perhaps you're in a valley today, and in that valley you're in right now, you've encountered the biggest giant of your life. Can I tell you, your giant is not greater. I'm going to say it again. Your giant is not greater. I don't care how big he is, how tall he is, how strong he is, how persistent he is. He is not greater than the one who lives inside of you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate giant killer. So I want you to say with me, he's with me in the valley. Even when there's giants there. Now he will allow us into valley experiences when giants are there to teach us. I want you to please understand this. Jesus is always the teacher. Whether you're on a mountaintop, he's the teacher. In a valley, he's the teacher. On a level playing field, he's always the teacher. He's always there, ready to instruct if we will listen. Teacher, they called him. Rabbi, teacher. What about this? What about that? He's always the teacher. Now, keep that in mind, because next we see the Philistines' favorite method of operation. What they decided to do with the Israelites was this: a campaign of bullying. A bully campaign. Bullying's big in our day. If you read much news, you know that there are teenagers that are actually literally taking their lives after being bullied so much in schools. Bullying. Talking about the way you look, talking about the way you act, talking about something about you, or just because somebody decides they don't like you, they decide to bully you. Boy, I had a bully in school. He was a monster. And I was a skinny little guy. And I learned how to get out of trouble with my mouth because I couldn't fight my way out real good because I was so skinny and little. I was. Don't look at me sad. I'm not self-pity. I was just a little guy. But there was this bully. Every day after school, he came after me. Every day after school, he came to find me. When I would see him in the hall during the day, he would say, "Wickwire, today, I'm going to find you after school." And I began to live in fear. He's going to find me. He's going to find me. I know he's going to find me. And one day, I had a friend. His name was Jim. Jim was huge. I brought Jim as a friend. I said, "Jim, let's be friends." One day, he says to me, "What's that guy saying to you?" "Oh, he threatens me every day." He said, "Today, you walk out where he sees you, I'm going to be right there." All right. I like this. Seriously. And so after school was out, there goes the bell. Usually that would cause me to panic and fear, and I have to run and hide from the bully. But this time, Jim was there, and I said, "Okay, I'm going out that door." I saw him, and I just started walking out. He came right up to me. Jim stepped between me and him and said, "What's your problem?" He said, "Nothing." He said, "I think you need to move on." And he walked away. And I learned something right then. Hide behind the stronger person. Right? Now I got another one that stands up for me. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Come on, everybody. And when the bully comes after me, I just get out of the way. I say, "Jesus, take care of it." And he says, "What are you doing?" And the bully always says, "I got nothing to say. I'll see you later." Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our victory is not due to ourselves. It is Christ in us who is the hope of glory. But Israel had forgotten how to hide behind God. And so here comes the bully. He was frightening, Goliath. He was an overwhelming monster of a man. You know, he checked in at 9 feet tall and some change. He was a beast. He's 2 feet taller than Shaq. He could walk up to a basketball goal and just drop it through. His booming voice echoed through the valley like it was shouted from a modern-day concert speaker. It echoed. His dark countenance, his mocking grin were the stuff of nightmares, I'll guarantee you. He was armed head to toe with armor that purposefully glistened in the sun with blinding brilliance. You couldn't even see when you looked at him. You were blinded by what flashed off his armor. He was like an Old Testament army tank. He was a fully weaponized killing machine, Goliath. And the Goliath intimidation campaign worked because verse 11 says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. God's people, look at what he did to them. Dismayed and terrified. Can I translate that for you in the modern Wickwire version? They were scared spitless. And this is what giants do. They distract you, they deter you, they drain you through intimidation and discouragement like some of you feel today. It's what your giant is attempting to do to you right now. He wants to disarm you by detouring you and distracting you and draining you. Have you noticed we live in a culture that is increasingly taking on the same modus operandi of Goliath? Intimidation is the tactic of our day. Hello. A godless, backslidden, reprobate culture has now taken on the characteristics of Goliath, and political correctness is the spearhead of Satan's modern-day intimidation campaign. Oh, it's there and it's real. Watch what you say that you don't offend somebody. Keep your mouth shut with all that God stuff. Don't you dare call sin sin. Who are you to judge? Don't judge in any way, shape, or form what others do, even though what they're doing is totally wrong and sometimes truly insane. But don't say it. Keep your mouth shut. Stay in your tent, in your building, in your church bubble, and don't come out and try to influence the culture. Because who are you to judge? I hate it. I despise political correctness. You know why? Because it takes away my freedom. It muzzles me. It makes me lie. I can't tell the truth. And so I defy it. And I want you to defy it. Satan is attempting to intimidate the church into silence. He wants us right where Israel was, quivering in our tents, dismayed and terrified. What God's looking for is a church with a spine. What God is looking for is what was in the early church. In the days of the early church, the disciples refused to be intimidated by Rome's threats. Rome took them aside, beat them bloody, and then said to them, "Don't preach in the name of Jesus." But the Bible says they looked them in the eye and said, "We must obey God rather than men." And they went right out and preached in the name of Jesus. You say, "Well, Pastor, you're sounding kind of radical." No, this is normal Christianity. We're so used to subnormal, we don't know normal when we see it. Are you ready? The early church was fearless. They were bold. They were unstoppable. If they had yielded to Satan's intimidation campaign in the early church, we wouldn't have a Bible. We wouldn't be here today. Peter was defeated by the giant of intimidation at Jesus' arrest. He denied him three times, but the Lord gave him a second chance. And Peter won the battle against that giant, stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached for 3 minutes, and 3,000 people were saved, 1,000 for every minute. And from then on, he was a lion and not a lamb. He got over it. And there's another type of intimidation I want to talk to you about today. Just want to mention it. Many of you listening to me right now have been intimidated and beaten down, and the Goliath is this, your personal failure. There's personal failure, and there's some shame, and there's some discouragement because there is something in your life that keeps on defeating you. And because of that, you feel shame. Like I said, there's people not in church today because they woke up and the Goliath said to them, "Who are you to go to church? Who are you to go praise God? Who are you to pray? And certainly, who are you to talk about Jesus when look at your own life?" The Goliath giant in your life accuses you, shames you, and tries to use your failures to silence you. He mocks your God. He defies his purposes for you, and he taunts your faith. He really basically says, "Where is your God?" And that's what Goliath was saying to Israel. "Where is your God? Where is your God? Come on, I'll whoop any one of you. You come on. Where is your God?" And what bothered David more than anything else, he said, "How dare he defy my God?" Man, I wish we felt that way today. I think some of us do. But don't you just get mad when the culture, our culture, seems to be on a fast track to disaster and destruction, and they don't care what God thinks about anything? Don't you finally want to just stand up and say, "How dare you defy the Creator God, you fool?" Well, Jeff, you're feeling salty today. I am. Listen, this is the way messages used to be preached before political correctness got a hold of the church. We're glad he's asking the question, "Where is your God?" Because I want to end with this one thing. In the valley of warfare, oh, catch this, church. In their valley of warfare, when everything was on the line, that's when their champion was revealed. Think about it, from Saul to the army to the people. No one knew much about little David at all, except he was a little shepherd boy over there in the field taking care of a few sheep, like his brother said to him. They knew him as shepherd, but they didn't know what else was in him. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. They knew him as the shepherd boy, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the one that played the harp. But they did not know that in him was a champion, was a giant killer, until they got in the valley with a Goliath and had to find it out. And how is it that it's in our valleys when we don't know where else to go or where else to turn or what else to do that the Lord comes up to us and says, hey, I'm more than your shepherd. I'm more than just a shepherd that keeps his sheep and makes sure you get to heaven one day, but I am your giant killer. See, a lot of us, we just think, well, I got saved to go to heaven someday, and that's where it all stops. But no, the Lord saved you to take over your life acre by acre by acre. And on all the acreage parts of your soul are giants that established themselves before you were saved. And the Lord begins to conquer those giants one after another after another. And we learn in the valley that what we thought was a catastrophe, oh, we're in such trouble. Listen, what looked like Israel's catastrophe was really God's opportunity to introduce to them their deliverer. And so David steps forth, this little shepherd guy that nobody would ever have looked at twice. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the armies of the living God? Let no man's heart fail because of him, because I will go and I will fight him and God will give him to me. So can I tell you, the Lord allows us to get into a valley so that we will learn something about him we did not know before. Wow, when I look to Jesus not only as my Savior and my shepherd and my guide, but as my giant killer, he is able to overcome and defeat the giants of my life that are bigger than me but not bigger than him. Is anybody hearing me today? Come on. I love that old Andre Crouch song, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word could do. I got into a terrible valley right after God called me. A giant attacked my life, and I'm going to tell you, everything was on the line. And I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know where to turn. It was a giant of fear. It just came from nowhere, and it began to attack me night and day and night, and it taunted my faith and taunted my God and basically said to me, where is your God? Because you're not free. Look at this fear that is tormenting your life. And finally, one day in desperation, I said, Lord, what do I do? And he sent a word to me. You know, it says he sent his word and healed them. He sent a word to me, and he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring your soul. And it was just a rhema word, like an arrow that was shot straight into my heart. And I heard it, and it moved me. It was to me. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring your mind. Because it was in the mind where I was under attack. So I began to memorize large portions of the Word of God. Jesus came up to me in the valley and said, not only am I going to lead you through as your shepherd, but I'm going to arm you in this valley. I'm going to teach you how to fight in this valley. And a lot of the conviction you hear in my voice when I preach the Word of God, the conviction you hear, the certainty you hear, I learned it not on a mountaintop, but in the valley. And I began to see the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's better than a knight's sword. Piercing, cutting, and discerning, and defeating the devil. I came out on the other side of that valley with a depth and a breadth to my ministry I didn't have before I went in. And that's where you are. God's going to arm you in the valley. There's a giant killer living inside of you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled, A Bullyproof Man, in this exciting sermon series we call The Battlefield. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.